hearts in prayer. Father in heaven, we've assembled together this afternoon hour for the second time in this day, O Lord, with the same joy in our hearts as we have come together around thy word. And before we open thy word, we pause and lift our thoughts heavenward unto thee, calling upon thee, that thou, Lord Jesus, would fulfill our desires, the desires of our hearts to know thee, that we would, Lord, come to understand who thou art, and that we would believe in thee, and that we would love thee. So draw us closer unto thee, that we would walk with thee. We ask us in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, for this afternoon's meditation, our reading, let us turn with God's help and read from the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, I desire to read the first 14 verses. Любо желаем да прочита со Божјом помоћу из Ефесима, посланица апостола Павла, 5 глава, први 14 бројева. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. God bless our reading, and let us kneel before our Lord in prayer. The Apostle Paul is writing in this chapter here, and he begins with an exhortation that we would be followers of God. And this is the call that Jesus has made continually in his ministry. Follow me. Follow me. Paul is saying here, be followers of God as dear children. To be a follower of God is to imitate who he is. You know, we've often seen children who imitate their parents as children. As children, they imitate their mom and dad. And we are being called as children of God to imitate God, to follow him, imitate him. And Jesus actually spoke the words and said that, I have come and left you an example. He says, I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. So the Lord has given us an example, and We are to know that example and to follow it, to imitate it. He didn't leave us an example of a life that we are to just look at and marvel at and go our own way. But he urges us here to be an imitator, a follower of God as his children, and to walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. We know that it tells us here he had given himself as an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. It tells us that he loved the church and he gave himself for it. It's a love that gives of itself, of him, of oneself. And dear ones, when he goes on here and he starts to list some sins that may make us leave here feeling okay. Because he lists sins he talks about fornication, uncleanness, and covetousness. And he says, don't let that be once named among the saved, the saints. It doesn't give room for that type of lifestyle at all. And we may leave here not even feeling too convicted in that, because I don't consider myself covetous. I'm not unclean. I'm not a whoremonger, as it says here. I'm not an unclean person. I'm not an idolater in the sense of how we immediately think of idolatry. And yet Paul said it before, and he's saying it again here, that covetousness is idolatry. And really, a covetousness, that is the root from where the sin that he is speaking of here comes from. And so we may leave here almost feeling kind of good about ourselves and not really to look into our own heart to see what the heart is prone to or inclined to. But he also says, let no man deceive you. So he's saying here that there's going to be those, and we know there are those, who will give vain words, empty words, who will say it's okay, who will find, and you know, psychology today gives us excuses for our behavior. Psychology today explains our behavior. And it digs deep into, why am I this way? But Paul says here, don't let any man deceive you. Because what the Lord is calling us to is a supernatural life. It's not something that's going to come from us. And so the only way to live this supernatural life is through a supernatural birth. And dear ones, it is Jesus Christ, if we follow him, that he gives us the victory over everything. We could fall into traps of vain words. Paul says, man might tell you that it's okay, but because of these things, he says, the wrath of God has come upon the children of disobedience. So the wrath of God is coming upon those who live this life. Paul doesn't say, just, okay, if you did it once, that's okay. He says, don't let it be named once among the saints. Now let's take that into our heart, the heart. You know, we heard this morning in the reading and meditated upon the giving and As even mentioned in the prayer, that we're ashamed. When we think about giving and perhaps what we do and don't and could and so on, but are we ever ashamed of the inner man, who we are? You know, there could be, you know, maybe I can give to the point where I feel good where I've given. But I'm not looking at the inner man. I got to look at the inner man. What is the purpose? Because really, when I don't give, all it does, it expresses a lack of faith. That's where our shame should be. I don't have faith in my God. How am I going to be a follower, an imitator of a God that I don't even believe in? Whoa, wait a minute. What do you mean I don't believe in him? No. If we lack faith, we will not be spent. Jesus gives us, he says, I have left you an example. What was his example? Where did that example, what did it take him to? A giving of self on the cross. He was spent. Spent to death. I've left you an example, he says. It tells us here, don't be partakers with them. Why? Because you were sometimes darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Paul often talked about the walk of our life, which is the outward expression of who we are inside. He says, you were darkness. Now you are light. Walk as children of light. In other words, if you claim to have the light, display that light. Let it be seen by all men. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. You don't have to ask me or one another, is this okay to do? It says, prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. Is it okay with my lifestyle, with what I give of myself in everything? Is that acceptable unto my Lord? Is that the example that he gave me? Is that what he has taught me? Because when we ask amongst ourselves, we'll get 100 different opinions if you ask 100 different people. Why? You know why? Because oftentimes we as Christians don't live with the truths of Scripture before us. The truths of Scripture are light, darkness. Christianity loves to operate in gray areas. There's no such thing as gray. It's truth or falsehood. It's light. It's darkness. It's one or the other. Is it acceptable unto God? It's going to be, maybe, no. Is it acceptable? It's yes or no. And everything in our life needs to be acceptable unto him. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Reprove them. What does it mean to reprove? It tells us that John the Baptist reproved Herod. He reproved him. He says, because you took your brother's wife and you broke the law of God. The safe thing would have been for John to just be quiet. That's the safe, easy road Just be quiet. They're going to do what they're going to do. It doesn't matter. They're going to do what they're going to do. Herod's going to keep doing what he's going to do. I'm just going to be quiet. Paul is telling us, reprove those things. Convict those things. Say, that's wrong. That is unacceptable in the sight of the Lord. Is it convenient? It's never convenient. Is it easy? It's never easy. You may be laughed at. You may be killed. But it says, reprove it. Convict it. Herod's wife was furious and spent a long time in planning how to get rid of that conviction that John, the forerunner of Christ, gave. And we read of the gruesome thing which she had done. She cut his head off. It wasn't convenient. It wasn't safe. Safe for the flesh, but safe for the inner man. He reproved the hidden works of darkness, which we are called to do. If something is not black or white, if we have different opinions and it's not based on Scripture, you're going to have grayness. But if we look and see, is it acceptable unto the Lord? You will know and I will know. We will know. Let it not be once named among you. Not once. We're going to hear all kinds of opinions on that. Why do you care what I would think? Well, I think this. Why do you care? Let's hear what the Lord says. But we can look at this and say, well, I don't do that. But the matter of the heart is what matters. And, you know, we can spend, Paul says about it in Corinthians, the chapter where he speaks about giving yourself to be burned. I can't imagine giving myself to be burned and the Lord looks at that as unacceptable. How? Not the act of what I've done, but it didn't come from a heart of faith. It may have come from a heart of fear. It may have come from altogether different motives. If it comes from a heart of faith, it comes from a heart of love. And it loves even the one who will put your body to be burned. As Christ gave us the example, as I have given you examples so that you would do it. And he says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. No fellowship. Well, you know, I can just go so far. No fellowship. I'm not a friend of that which is unacceptable to the Lord. Because when we are a friend of that, we are an enemy of God. He says, have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. You were sometimes darkness, he said. Now you are light. It's a shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret. You know, This is where our shame comes. The things that we do in secret. How can we look at this and say, I'm not ashamed of anything I do in secret? I'm not, because I have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. But I've rather convicted them. I've said those things are wrong. I don't need psychologists today to tell me, well, you know what, the reason you're inclined towards these lusts and towards this is because of your upbringing. I need a new birth. That's what I need. I need Jesus. Jesus gives me the power, the peace, the joy. When I reprove darkness, the acts, the works of darkness, when I boldly face the enemy, who is Satan and his demons, and who wants to control my flesh to lead me back into these unfruitful works of darkness that I am to reprove. He says, but all things that are reproved or convicted, he says, they are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. When something lies in darkness, that which will make manifest what is in that darkness is light. When that which is underneath this boulder, when you uncover it and you see all these squirmy, slimy things crawling around, light exposes it. There are these squirmy, slimy things that are in our hearts. Light exposes it. What is light? Who is light? It's our word that we find, or the Lord's word. The word of God is what I meant. Here, what we have in our holy Bible that we read. That's what uncovers it. That's what reproves. All things that are reproved have to be reproved by the light. Not by my opinion. Not by, is it convenient? Well, what's going to happen to me? Well, what's my friend going to think if I don't approve of what she's doing? If I don't approve of what he's doing? Why do I have to like everything that he's saying or doing? Because it's popular. I want to be popular. I don't want to be different. I don't want to look like a weirdo. So, it's not convenient. And it's probably not that bad, right? Yeah. And we convince ourselves. And we don't care, is it acceptable unto God? It doesn't matter. And so Paul is saying, walk, 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 go, continually move. We can't be standing still. A Christian can never stand still. He is either moving forward or he's backsliding. That's it. Standing still, what does that mean? What does it mean to be standing still? You're backsliding. You're falling back. If you're not walking with the Lord, you are sliding away from the Lord. And he says, walk as dear children. Be a follower of God, continually moving with him, walking in step with him all the time. Not when it's convenient. Not when it can look like, oh, wow. He stood up for this or that, when it's going to make us look good, but even when it makes us look bad, when the throngs don't agree, it tells us to reprove those things. And he says, do it by the light. Do it through the revealed will of God. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. That which we uncover has to be uncovered by light. You can't be in absolute darkness and turn over that boulder and see what's underneath it. Darkness doesn't make darkness manifest. Light does. If we want to see what's in our heart, we have to shine the light of God's Word inside of our heart. He reveals it to us. He shows us. And that needs to bring us shame. He says, it's a shame to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest. Wake up. Wake up. You're asleep. And when we're asleep, we're dead. When Lazarus arose from the dead, he didn't want to stay in his grave cloths. No, he got rid of those things as quick as he could. How can we who come out of death and into life and light, how can we want our grave cloths back on? He says, "You're awake, thou that sleepest, arise from the dead." What are you doing back there where you came from? Arise from the dead, and Christ will give thee light. You won't find that source anywhere else. It's in Him. He's the source of all light and life. He is goodness. He is righteousness. He is holiness. He says, prove what is acceptable unto Him. Be a follower of Him. Paul is urging us, dear ones, to look to Him. He is the way. Don't look to yourself. Don't look to one another. Look to Him. We'll never get lost there. We need to encourage one another, not excuse one another. Encourage one another. Reprove. Convict those things that are wrong. Not out of a proud heart, not out of a way of, I know, you don't. No. Of course, you're doing that, you're already lost. You're already back in the darkness. You're not reproving anything. You're just showing how carnal you are. That's all. Everything needs to be done in the light of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I gave you an example of what you are to do. I gave you an example. He loved. He reproved. He encouraged. He did it all. Look to Him. And He lived a life of purity. And He said, I only came to do the will of my Father. He proved what was acceptable unto the Father, and He did that. Never did He do that which was not the Father's will. Paul is saying, don't ever do that which is not the Lord's will. If it's not acceptable unto Him, if you didn't find it on the walk following Him, it's not His will. It's not the example He gave. Don't do it. Get out of that grave cloth. Arise from the dead. Wake up. Stop sleeping. The end is near. I don't know when the end of the world will be. I never thought I'd live to be 50 plus years old when I was a teenager. I was convinced the end of the world is going to be by the time I'm in my 20s. It may go on another 1,000 years. You can't say no, it won't. And I can't say yes, it will. And it doesn't matter. Because my life might be snuffed out tonight. The Lord is at hand. He gave me an example of what I am to follow. Paul is urging us, wake up. Wake up. Follow God. Reprove that which is wrong. Do that which is acceptable. Follow Him. Everything you do, everything you say, let it glorify the Lord. Not yourself. The Lord. Dear ones, may the convicting power of His light, His word, reveal the hidden works of darkness in each of our hearts, so that we can, together as a body of believers, grow stronger. And as we grow stronger, the church of God is stronger. It becomes a blazing light. It's a beacon. It shows the way. Why do we gather together? When we're all together and we are burning for the Lord, we shine bright. Today, the most popular thing to do is say, "Don't judge me. Don't you judge me." That's a very popular thing. You hear it everywhere you turn. Don't judge me. Paul says, reprove. Reprove. John the Baptist judged that what was wrong. He judged it. He said, "It's wrong what you did." He gave his life. We say, "Don't judge." The Bible says, "Don't judge." But it says, "Reprove those things which are wrong. Convict them. Say that is wrong." Why? Because the light of God's word says it is wrong. It's not convenient, but it must be done. And when the light is in us, it will be made manifest. And we will know what is in our hearts. I will know why I come to you. I will know why you come to me. It would be very, very evident. I may not like it. Herodias didn't like it. She still killed him. She wanted to get rid of that conviction that was given. She couldn't take it. Not because she was right. She knew she was wrong. But it was easier to deal with him than with who she was. What she did would require a radical change. Get rid of John the Baptist. It's easier. So the Pharisees did. Get rid of Jesus Christ rather than the radical change that he is calling from me. And so, dear ones, is that what we do? Get rid of Jesus. I don't want to follow you. I don't want to follow you. I don't want to imitate you. It's not popular. It's wearisome. There's no joy. There's no happiness. Why? Because we don't love him. If we love him, we will find peace and contentment and joy and happiness in him. Come what may. May the Lord bless his word upon our hearts, and may we truly look into his word to uncover the unfruitful works of darkness, that we would be able to shine his lights as he has given us the instruction and the example of his life. Amen.
The guidance and the direction of the Lord is something that is very precious to us. And a few verses from Proverbs that came to mind as we meditated on the word this afternoon. To allow our hearts to be able to receive his guidance and his direction. We read, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." When we trust in the Lord, our confidence and our hope, our love, our faith are placed in him with all of our heart, and not leaning to the easy resting spot of our own understanding. When we acknowledge the Lord, that he is Lord of all, that he is God, and he has made us and not we ourselves, we put our hearts in a place that we can receive his direction. And it's found in his word, as we've learned and been reminded again in this afternoon, for us to receive and to follow. And though the lessons may be difficult and painful to receive, it is good for our souls to hear them and to walk in them. May God give his grace as we all ponder our own hearts and what the Lord has been speaking to us in the past days and even today. Our hearts would be exercised to grow in faith, and our faith would be expressed in how we respond to his word. May God bless his word to that end. Amen.